We're gonna get started again.
Yep.
So if we can finish our conversations, we're gonna get started again. The next item on the agenda is a budget update. So Dr. Van Zandt, if I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay. Well, because we had the finances as the focus topic, I think we probably covered most of what we might want to say. We're doing a good job with tracking how the funds are spent, especially since we have these new mandates on us. But we're
on the microphone.
Thank you, Kendo. You'll get. Thank you very much. So the budget update, we talked quite a bit about budget and finances earlier. Pretty much it's focus is on making sure we're tracking the pre-employment transition to the best of our ability, and funds are adequate. Our VR grant is a little less than it was last year, but we do have adequate match from the state, and so really budget-wise things are going pretty well. Any more specific you want to say, Bill?
I don't think so.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Someone was telling me there was some talk, you know, that maybe we hear this on and off, the shortfall and money's coming into the state, and one other thing I heard, I was going to, something is now affecting or might affect like the retirement system for the state workers.
Right. I also read about the shortfall. It has not impacted our budget at all. We're so far so good. About the retirement, I'm not aware of anything.
There was some talk about the city of Lincoln retirement, but I don't think the state retirement, at least I haven't heard anything about issues with that.
Well, great.
Yeah. Well, you can, sir.
I don't have any money in it.
Oh.
Anything else, commissioners, that you want to talk about with budget?
I don't have anything.
Okay.
I have just a quick question.
Sure.
Just thinking about the older population, don't you have a certain percentage of the budget that you focus towards 55 and older?
Yes. I won't say percentage specifically, but Bill talked about the older blind grant, which is that's $225,000 a year. And that's 90% federal, 10% state. And then we do have additional funds from the state that allow us to focus on senior blind. Generally, that's considered 55 age and over. So we do track those with the staff who work around the each 2 weeks when they do their timesheet. They actually mark how many hours were spent on older blind, how many on voc rehab, and how many on pre-employment transition. And so we track the expenditures that way. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and my other secondary to that is with as you've said, the baby boomer population aging, is there going to be any, foresight to maybe expect more clientele in that age group?
It's likely there will be more clientele. There won't be more funding.
Okay, that's what
now, let me say, though, that older people, and certainly 55 is not old by a long shot, but the feds said that, not us. When you're anywhere above age 55, if you have a job goal, you are a VR client.
Oh,
you're
okay.
A voc rehab client. So, and we really encourage people, and of course the economy encourages people to stay in the workforce, have a job, sometimes have more than one job, to be out there earning money, whether you're 50, 60, 70. And so the voc rehab grant serves many older people.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I suppose that as the number of clients that fall into that category increases, but the federal dollars are not, we still have the option if we have unmatched general funds that aren't earmarked for something else in the budget, that we could make use of those for whatever we want, right?
Kind of, yes. I'd probably state it differently, but
okay.
General funds, that means from state government, mm-hmm. If there is those funds which are above the amount we must have to match federal,
right,
can be used. But the other big caveat to all of that is that with the new pre-employment transition services, pre-ETS, it's 15% of the full voc rehab budget. That leaves 85%,
yeah,
that serves all the rest of the clients. So there are many states who are really, really worried about their voc rehab services to people that are above pre-employment transition age.
Right.
We need to make sure we don't just lose, not serve the people that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're working on it.
Dr. Van Zandt, I know most of our money comes from the federal government and with the state match. If there were to be a grant from an outside private foundation and we were to get that for the senior blind, would the agency be penalized in any way, or could we spend that however we wanted if it's from private funds?
There would not be any penalizing. Okay. We would be able to utilize that. The maintenance of effort part, if it gets into the voc rehab grant, also known as basic support, then it could impact the maintenance of effort.
Okay.
But with the VR, with the older blind, it isn't.
There is one caveat
is that
to
okay?
that.
Bill,
yeah,
or Mark?
Yeah, yeah.
There is one caveat to that in that we have to be appropriated money by the state in order to pay for that. We can only pay it up to the amount that they appropriate. And so if we have an additional grant, if you will, we may have to ask for an appropriation. But generally, if you can show that that's, you have the money that can come in, that's not a major issue.
Okay. I know a couple of years ago the American Council of Blind liked the senior conference that we had in Kearney, and we tried to write a grant. And we didn't get it, but that doesn't mean we might not try again.
Yeah, he was saying that the American Council of the Blind a couple of years ago had written a grant proposal to try to provide extra funding for the older blind, and they didn't get the grant, but they might try again in the future.
All right.
I didn't mention yet Friends of the Commission, which kind of ties in with my report as well as
sure.
the budget.
Right ahead.
But Friends of the Commission, actually we now have two commissioners who are members of the Friends of Commission, Robert Newman and Chad Bell.
Yeah.
And so each month, one of the things I try to update you all on is what they are doing. Now that we have two people, we might have them make that update when they do their commissioner's little report. But it has the potential. It's a fundraising entity to help to support the efforts of the agency and others. So they're looking at projects that they might be able to do. Last year they had an extra effort related to youth programs, but they certainly could look at youth. They could look at seniors. So they're a good, very good group of people that want to support the agency as well.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is our newsline update. Every quarter, our state newsline coordinator submits a report to the commission board on the going-ons with newsline. She's always including, you know, new papers that may have been added, new publications that may have been added, new features or updates to the system. So we've heard about things like, updates to ways of accessing the system. You can access it from your smartphone now and through other devices. And in this particular report, due to the fact that we have some new commissioners, she went back and gave a little history, but gave a lot more detail in those areas this time. And then she always includes some subscription counts and usage statistics. And they always blow my mind as far as it's hard to wrap my head around them, because she always gives them in minutes. And so I did the math this time. And last night at 1 in the morning I was bored. The statistics this quarter were subscribers still use the telephone access method the most, and so this is the usage over the telephone, and read a total of 17,825 minutes of content in January over the phone, 15,881 minutes in December, and 14,926 minutes in November. So I sat down and just did some simple math, and that comes out to be in November 248 hours 46 minutes, December 264 hours and 41 minutes, and in January 297 hours and 25 minutes. But she goes on to talk about how people are accessing things through the web, through their smartphones. I know that's how I access it. Through other devices like a Victor Reader Stream, they can download content that way. So she comments about that in here as well. So people are accessing it in more ways than just through the telephone. As a reminder, if you have any trouble with Newsline or you'd like some more information, you're encouraged to contact Jamie Forbus, who is our state Newsline coordinator. Her contact number is 402-471-8102, and you'll get voicemail when you call that number. But she gets all those voicemail messages and returns those calls as quickly as possible. You can also email her at the email address is newsline@ne.nfb.org, and so you can contact her that way as well. And she'd be able to help you out with anything, resetting passwords, getting signed up, so on.
And her full report will be part of the minutes.
Yes, her full report. You can get all the statistics and information. It'll be included as part of the minutes. So, unless the board has any questions about Newsline, maybe we'll see Jamie more.
Art. Well, while I read the report and I thought, well, I've got a new smartphone, I'll try this. And within a couple hours, I was able to get the appropriate password and user ID, and now I listen to it on my smartphone.
So mm-hmm.
It's not that hard, guys. So.
I guess I'll just mention the board. I did notice that I did go back and review the information last night that was in the Nebraska Commission for the Blind channel, the Visually Impaired channel, and I noticed there was a couple things that were out of date.
Yeah. Right.
And so, and there's only two items there, but the one that dealt with our job description was out of date, and so I sent the corrections to her to bring that up to date. So.
Okay. Yeah, very good.
All right, so moving on. The next item is client assistance program. So complaints or issues. And Dr. Van Zandt?
Yes, thank you. This past quarter, there was one CAP case regarding NCBVI policy requiring written approval It was determined that the individual had the knowledge of the policy and that the staff had acted appropriately, and that that was the only issue.
Okay. Okay. Well, glad that, always glad when we have very few of those. It means that everything's going smoothly. The next item then was the Nebraska Business Enterprise Program. Now, so we were just talking about the name change. So it's only the governing committee whose name changed, right? The program is still the NBE program, right?
Correct. It's the committee of the people who are operate within
right.
that, which is the we used to call them vendors. Now it's officially licensees.
Yeah.
So that's called the licensees committee.
Okay.
Carlos Servan often gives this report, but he's not here today, so I'll be glad to do that. With Department of Roads, you'll recall we had to replace all our machines on the interstate in the rest areas to be ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act compliant. Also, now the Department of Roads has an ADA rest area project. It is updating all rest areas to be compliant, to be fully accessible to people with disabilities. They've completed several of the rest areas, and then they're moving on. They tend to be behind schedule, so I won't try to say the schedule, but they are moving across. The impact that has for our licensees is then a rest area will just be closed for a period of time. It can be months, and so that impacts income for those folks. But it's one of those things they need to do. We're continuing to work to improve NBE opportunities for blind licensees. Carlos and I have worked with Department of Administrative Services to talk about the Randolph-Shepard program, ways to reduce rent currently being paid on state property, hopefully pay less insurance, improve the state NBE, also known as a Little Randolph-Shepard Act, the statute to have better language to make for more opportunities on state property for blind licensees. That's all in the works. Carlos has met with key people in Governor Ricketts' office to discuss the need for more opportunities on state property. And so we just keep working away at that. We've been waiting for building division for new language about the lower level state office building facility, and we've also been in correspondence with the federal RSA business enterprise specialists to help us explore insurance rates and how that can best be managed. Pay Range is a new company or a new device that allows for cashless payment for vending machines so that you can use your smartphone to pay for your candy bar. And we do have those machines at a couple of places that our licensees operate. They're working really well and sales are improving, and this will be ongoing as more locations offer Pay Range. And then we did mention last meeting, I think, the vendor in for the Sydney area, the interstate rest areas out there. Greg Stroh retired, and a new person, Wiley Elmshauser, has taken over Greg's locations in Sydney. And so that looks to be a good opportunity there. As of year end, NBE has 15 people, licensees, and we're working with two new people one in Grand Island and one in Norfolk. And that's my report.
Ms. Pearl?
Yes, sir.
So, okay, I was at the meeting in December, and one of the things that was told there by Don Ward that he reported that he had gotten a letter from some federal agency there, I forget what it's called, and that the people in the program that have a security badge to get on the some of the federal properties and things, you know, there's a big long application, you get your background all checked and stuff. Anyway, that stuff was hacked, so that information on all those people is out there somewhere. So what's happened since then? What's the feds gonna, what have they done to kind of help these people with all their personal information, but include, you know, information about their families, names and stuff, bank account numbers, social security numbers, all that stuff?
Yes, thank you. Kathy has a comment on that. And then, Sandy, do you have any update? I thought you might. Let's go to Kathy first.
Well, me, even though I'm not a vendor, I have just the same Social Security clearance, and so my account got hacked too. And so they give you a website that you can sign up for free additional monitored security. And if there's any changes in any of your credit, you will get an email, and it will alert you that something's changed. And then you can log on to see what the change is. And if it's something that you didn't authorize, then you know, you can take the next step in order to make that better. But it did happen to me once. I did get a new credit card, and I did get the email that said, you got a new, did you authorize this credit, you know, blah, blah. And so far I think it's working, but I don't know what they're going to do after the first year, because it's only 1 year of free monitoring. But
thank you.
That's all I know.
And Sandy, did you have any additional? Okay, that's probably what she was going to say too.
Did you have anything else, Robert?
No, just the rotten deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the rotten deal.
I have the Nebraska Business Enterprise balance sheet in front of me for December 2015, and I guess I have a couple questions about it. Just making most of it makes sense. We see this every month. But what's the retirement account that's in here? This isn't. I guess I'm not sure what the purpose of the retirement account is. If we're funding, if we're helping set money aside for our blind vendors' retirement, or if there's a different point to this, or how
that
works.
Yes, it is. It is specifically for blind licensees who operate under the NBE program. It is not mandatory. They can participate if they want. If they do, they can contribute funds just like you do to any retirement account, and then the agency will match up to a certain level, and so then it's held as a regular retirement account. That's the big picture view. I don't know that we need details, but if you have other
questions.
That's
fine.
Bill would give you details, but I'm not going to hand him the microphone. No, we can go more detailed if you want.
Yeah. The other question I had was, on here there's a section that's dealing with balances for funds related to the Department of Roads, as far as it looks like electricity deposits and, it looks like it's all related to utilities probably at these... at these rest stops, I'm guessing, and I thought that was a interesting, in the sense that we don't pay that in any of our other locations, do we? Like, we're not paying for the electricity to run our machine that happens to reside in the state office building or wherever, or we're not paying for the electricity for the cafe that might be in the basement of the state office building, are we?
Well, we pay rent.
Sure.
We can pay rent and utilities, but the licensee pays each month to whatever that building is.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay.
Now, the roads, Department of Roads invoices NCBVI for the utilities at the rest areas. Those are federal buildings. Roads does not always send their invoices to us on a regular basis. And so, but the licensee needs to pay on their regular basis. So when the invoice hits, then we've got the funds to pay that. In a nutshell, anything I said that was not right, Sandy or Bill? I mean, that's big picture. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So typically those things are expenses that are incurred by all, or in generally by our blind licensees. And but typically they take care of those expenses directly, except for in the Department of Roads, it comes here and we work together to with the blind licensees to take care of those expenses.
Correct.
Okay. All right. That was all the questions I had.
Can I have a question?
Absolutely.
Yeah, regarding the mini Randolph Shepherd for state buildings. First of all, I spoke with my local representative, and it was kind of late in the game, and he'd said that with the short session this year, that the chances of something like that getting priority was pretty slim. And,
mm-hmm.
But we should be looking towards the next year when we and earlier to see what we can do. You know, it just amazes me why they have a short session after they've been in office a year or two, and then they do a major session after elections. So we're going to have to find somebody that's not term limited out.
Right. So I can speak on that a little bit more. Carlos and I met with Senator Mello from Omaha back on January 16th. And the topic was a little Randolph Shepherd Act in Nebraska. Specifically, the language of preference versus priority, in how we are given the opportunity to compete for locations. Our hope would be that we could get that changed so that the language is that of a priority. Therefore, we basically have the right of first refusal. So whenever a facility comes up in a state-owned building, we are just immediately asked, is this something that you want to handle the vending arrangements for, or do you pass on it and we can send this out for bid? And that's what we'd love to move to, but instead right now we're basically having to go through the full formal bid process that everybody else does, and only if everything is equal in the bids do we get it in the sense that we have preference. And so we're looking to change that. When we spoke with Senator Mello, we looked at the current language that's in the state statutes today, and it actually, because he was encouraging us to work with the Department of Administrative Services or Building Services to just streamline the process to work better for us, and see if we could do that. But that potentially could have problems because every time there's a change in administration, that might change again as well, and we have to keep going back and readdressing this. And then we actually started to read the state statutes, and the way, if you read the state statute, it actually talks about there having to be a bid process. And so Senator Mello did agree that at this point in time, it would be great if we could work something out internally within the administration, but long term we would need to address it with legislation, and that would be something that we could look at, it, you know, as Mark said, in a future session. But it sounds like he is an ally of ours in this effort, and somebody that we can go back to and continue to work with. So that was very positive in that regards.
You know, I guess if I could add to that, if we got anybody that lives in
Senator Mello's district, you know, anything you can do in your district to persuade your senators does help. Kendall, you live in Senator Mello's district.
So do I.
So anything that we can do, because they're more receptive to listening to their own constituents than they are somebody in a different. So we might call upon these people to help.
Sure.
He's term limited out though.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. All right. So moving. Unless there's any other questions from the board.
No.
No. Okay. New business. Moving on to initiating the executive director's annual review process. Before we get started on that, I have one quick question for Dr. Van Zandt. And if this requires research or something like that, or even it's not a big deal. But why do we do your annual evaluation in May?
I believe that is because although the state, we operate under a federal fiscal year, October
right.
through September. We also operate and have to report related to the state fiscal year,
mm-hmm.
which starts July 1.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to... it's a little odd. I am not under the state personnel
mm-hmm.
in terms of the kinds of protections that provides.
Right.
I serve at the will of the board. Still, the retention and any either way salary increases or decreases that the board might want to do need to take effect with July 1
okay.
with the
that
other.
Makes sense.
So.
I that makes a lot of sense with the salary. If we choose to give you a raise, that would take effect July 1,
right?
And therefore this is the last meeting that we would have prior to July 1, so that's when we do it.
Correct.
I was just looking at this again, and with the new process that we used for the first time last year, one which we're going to talk about here right now, one of the pieces of that is to pull together some statistical information.
Yes.
And if we were looking at that from a state fiscal year perspective, if we start pulling that together now, we might only be looking at, you know, two-thirds of the year versus the full year. But anyway, so that I guess that's why I was asking.
Actually, it's a really good point and something we struggle with when... Like we do an annual report to the governor,
mm-hmm.
and that's due January 1 each year.
Right.
So it's another completely different thing. However, our major process of data gathering relates to the federal year.
Okay.
And so we generally do use the federal numbers when we're saying we serve this many people. We're talking about the federal year.
Mm-hmm.
We can go in and mine the data for July 1 through June of a year or calendar year,
right.
but our federal reporting is the biggest part of what we do, and so that's generally what we use.
Okay.
And I would hope on those key indicators, which is a really great new tool. I think that just to go with the federal numbers, when we say 2015, we mean October 1, 2014 through September of 2015.
I think when we developed the spreadsheet last year, that was one of the terrific suggestions that Bill made, was that we needed, was how we were labeling
yes.
some of these columns and rows was to... so that it just didn't say 2015 or whatnot, that it was indicating what fiscal year, in this case, FFY for federal fiscal years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And how those were, so we knew what the data meant. Okay. Next time when we meet, we're going to be performing Dr. Van Zandt's annual evaluation. Roughly 2 years ago, the board worked to develop a new review, a new annual review process. And then this past year was the first year that it was executed. It was the year it was implemented. How about that?
Let's don't say execution when you're talking about
that. Please. Okay. And so the review process while it contains a lot of the same things that would or should have being done behind the scenes previously, it is a much more structured format now to the process that is followed. And so there's a, just at a high level here, there is a component for a self-review component. Basically, it's a short 7-question survey or questionnaire that we give Dr. Van Zandt. How's things going? How you liking your job? Is there anything we can do to help you out? And this gives us some insight with her some more, hopefully a chance to, and then we have anything that might come up through that, we can, you know, could be used as some, maybe some discussion points, some talking points as we do the formal review process in May. There is another step that is a document collection standpoint, and this is just to make sure that the commissioners have on hand in their possession all the information that they may want to review pertinent to the last year of activity. So things like Dr. Van Zandt's job description, you know, what is she technically responsible for? The current and proposed state plans for next year, the executive director reports from our meeting minutes, so to go back and review. We came up with this spreadsheet that has a lot of key agency indicators on it. It's just high-level numbers, so things dealing with clients served and case closure numbers from throughout the agency. Number of active blind licensees is included in that. Number of center clients going through the system at this time, we have a number here for the number of currently unfilled contracted out blind enterprise locations. Then we have a whole other section on budget. So how much are we getting from each of our grants? How much we're doing in carryover, reallotment funds, so on. And so that's something that when we started it last year, we asked to go back and collect the last 3 years worth of information. And so this year we'll just collect this past year's. And it's something that we'll continually keep adding to so that we'll always have that to go back and refer to. So that information is there for the commissioner's review to go back and see what were some of the things that came up over the year. And see how they were handled and also have some discussion topics for our conversation that we'll have in May with Dr. Van Zandt. We have an opportunity in here for feedback from the staff. In the past, that had been done through a survey, and in lieu of that, now the way we're doing that is by trying to be at events when we can, so we're approachable that way. We do have an anonymous comment box that the staff have access to. Basically, it's an email address, it's a web form, I think,
right,
that they fill out. But in the end, it ends up sending us the commission board an anonymous email, and we're able to then get those comments, and we don't know where they came from, unless they sign it. So, But we also we're always approachable if the staff would ever want to come get a hold of us. They have our email address as well. The next step is individual board member prep, which again is reviewing the documents that we collected, and any other comments and so on that occurred from the staff. There's an opportunity to collect comments from the general public. Several of those occur throughout the year, but basically it's the board being out and in the public, mingling, being available to the board or to the public, times like here, being able to address us in the public comment time. As always, they're able to contact us through email. So we're trying to make ourselves available for them to bring comments forward. And then the formal evaluation process, which will be held in May, where we'll go over these items and have a conversation with Dr. Van Zandt regarding the activities over the last year. And then finally, there is an actual written write-up that I will do with the input from the rest of the board that will then be placed into her permanent file and into the state personnel system. So that's the review process that we adopted and implemented last year. And so at this time, the reason it's an agenda item is because there is some preparatory work. Mark, did you...
Yeah, I just had a question about...
Well, I was going to say, did you... this document, I didn't know if you've seen it yet.
I saw it on the flash drive.
Okay.
My question is it... You know, I've attended these board meetings for years, and I always kind of felt uncomfortable doing an evaluation in a public setting. Is this going to be done publicly?
I have a guess. We can ask that, but some of the... bad blood with this whole process over the years, there were several items, but one of them was the way that it was conducted publicly every year, and that was not by the board's choosing.
Okay.
It was we had been given information by the Office of State Personnel that was the way we had to do it, and we have since gotten clarification, and I don't know why the answer changed, other than maybe it was worded differently or a change in personnel, something. But we've gotten better, more clarification on it, and it can be done either way. It can be done publicly, or it can be done in executive session. And the way it is done is up to Dr. Van Zandt. And so last year, we chose to do it, or she chose to do it in an executive session. And I'm imagining that's the way it'll be done again.
Is that recorded then, too?
No.
It's not? Okay.
And so that the board each year asks the executive director which the preference is,
right.
And then I say in executive session.
Right.
I mean, I can say whichever, but
right.
But that's what I did last year. And
right.
Likely how it would be.
Okay. And so if anybody doesn't know, so the way that would work is that the only thing that we will have anytime that we want to go or feel that we need to go into executive session, it has, I believe that can't be on the spur of the moment. We have to have that on the agenda. It's known that that's going to occur. We document for the meeting minutes when we went into executive session and when we came out, and that is the only record of what occurred during that time. We'll of course come out and report the outcome of it, but the details will not leave the room. So, and that's just fair. I mean, no other state employee has their person, you know, their annual review done publicly either. So it's just a personnel issue. So
thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So my task today is to, and I think this may have already been started, but my task today is to ask our board executive secretary here to Becky, if you could work with the staff to update, to make sure that we have all that documentation, and most of it we already have, because we, you know, we have our job description, we have the meeting minutes, we have, you know, most of that stuff, but updating that key indicators spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. If you could work with probably Julie, but we'll go through Pearl, but I mean, it'll probably be Julie will help with that, and Bill for the financial side of it, and get that brought up to date for this year.
Okay.
All right, and then that'll get us started, and Dr. Vizant will get you the self-assessment and stuff here in the next few weeks, and then give you plenty of time to be able to work on that. Okay. And get it back to us. So,
Mike, if I can just add, sorry, but
absolutely.
Let's send the
you know, as okay, you know, as commissioners, we're on the board to represent the consumers, and you know, of course, Mike, you represent the NFB, and I represent the ACB, and the other three are at large. I would encourage all of us as commissioners to talk to the consumers out there, because that's really where the rubber hits the road. It's important what the staff says, but you really need to have our ear to the ground as far as what's going on out where with the consumers. So I would definitely encourage you to do that. So thank you.
Okay. Is there any questions, especially Mark and Chad, being the first, your guys' first exposure to this? Or Robert, Becky, any questions you guys have about the process?
I bet we'll get emails on it.
I bet you will.
That's an honest answer.
All right. Okay.
There might be some that come up as we go, but we'll deal with them then.
That's absolutely fair. Okay. So the next item, let's see here. Notes here. Yeah, okay. That was my note about why we do it in May. All right. So moving on, an update on the commission board retreat. So this has come up a couple times. I greatly appreciated the Jim and Julie's comments in November, even though they weren't going to be participating in this retreat of the board. They were there, and Julie planned the last one that we had. And so it was... I was very interested to hear. I mean, we talked about it immediately after the retreat, but I was very interested to hear, you know, her thoughts and Jim's thoughts about how that impacted and how the board, for the 2 years afterwards, did it streamline the process of bringing new commissioners on board? Was there things that, you know, 18 months down the road, it's like, man, I wish we would have covered this, because that's something that kept coming up. Or I was glad that they were willing to give their feedback. You know, like I said, even though it's something that they weren't going to be participating in, but it was their institutional knowledge is great. So I appreciate that. We have scheduled the retreat to be. The meat of it will happen on March 12th, Saturday, March 12th, in Kearney, Nebraska. Due to travel and so on, we'll be arriving. Most of us will be arriving on Friday, the 11th. We're going to try to get there early enough in the afternoon that we're going to get a chance to visit the Kearney office while we're there. Their new office facility. So we'll get a chance to do that while we're there. Some of the topics that we have roughly mapped out for the agenda, and this is very similar to what we did 2 years ago, is the history of the Commission for the Blind, and we have some documentation going back to the early 1900s on
really?
How that, you know, how the agency was, how the organization was formed, how it operated, what were their what was their areas of responsibility back then, and how that has changed over the years. And so it's kind of an interesting read. Some of that was written by Dr. Nyman
He had obviously a long history here as well, but then there was others that we had the agency had tapped over the years to try to get some written history documented, and so that's an interesting topic. Posted on our on the commission website is a list of the commissioner's job responsibilities or job duties, and we'll go over that. and then kind of in with that is the role of the board. You know, what are we responsible for, and then how do we execute that? We'll go over. We hear us talk about sometimes a thumb drive. During a board meetings, I'm actually sitting up here making copies of it, usually bringing it up to date for each board member. And that's but on there is a packet, is a document of information for all the commissioners, of all the nuances of what we do and how we do it, and all the other little details. And so we'll go through that, answering questions, how this all operates and works. We'll talk a little bit about communication between meetings. There's some things we can do between meetings. There's some things we can't due to public meeting law. There are, and then of course there's just the nuances of we have new board members. So what's the best way to communicate between meetings? Is it via email? Is it a phone call here or there? So to make sure that information is passed along. So we'll have some conversations around that. We'll be talking about focus topics for the coming year. What is Chad and Mark's particularly, but all of us, are there areas of the board that or the commission that you're not as familiar with as you would like to be? And if there are those areas of the commission that you're not familiar with, we can write those down as topics that we will ask the commission to put together some information and deliver that at a future board meeting, so that we can be as well versed as possible about all the operations of the agency. So we'll come up with those lists. We'll talk about meeting dates. A lot of just everybody bring your calendar, so we can get meeting dates planned out and try to avoid all the. Make sure that everybody is able to attend. So in general, that's what we'll be discussing. I guess I would ask the board if you have other items that you would like to put on there. That would be, please send me an email or let me know, give me a call, whatever, and we can get different topics added as well. When we did this 2 years ago, Julie had the foresight of asking the different board members to present different pieces of it, and I'm going to do the same thing again. So I'll be contacting some of you guys and asking you to assist with some of those topics and leading some of those discussions. Other than...
Mr. Chair, may I make a comment?
Yes.
Thank you. Just for clarification, the retreat is training,
yes,
for the board, and no decisions will be made that would otherwise need to be made in the public meeting.
Correct.
So they're very aware of that and will attend to that very clearly. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, it really boils down to how do we do our job, and that's about it. So, any other questions from the board? No? Okay. Moving right along. We're only 10 minutes behind schedule. Discuss any problems with the new file sharing system. Well, we thought we would have it in place. There has been... I've worked with Wes to... take the proposal that we got from the Office of the State CIO and get all the details laid out and submitted to the State CIO's Office of the State CIO so that they could implement it. And then they came back and said, "We misunderstood what you wanted." And
So they are questioning whether or not they have the ability to provide us what we were asking for, and there is a meeting that we're going to be scheduling here in the near future. The date has not been set. Well, we will get together with individuals from their staff. I will go with Wes and whoever else comes along with us. I don't know if Dr. Van Zandt will join us or not, but we'll go and have a discussion with them to move that forward. It is interesting. You know, it amazes me that this is the first time this is coming up, that that other commission boards have not run into situations like this where they needed ways to share information or to have access to information other than email. And that just amazes me. So we're definitely, as Bill was saying, this isn't with caseload, but we are on the cutting edge of how we're operating. So, and that leads us to, unless there's an, I don't think there's any discussion at this time about that, because there's nothing really, unless there's a question about what we're trying to accomplish from the board, but I think you guys are aware. And so we'll talk, one of the things we'll bring up too is trying to make sure that it's, whatever we do is accessible to the board as a whole, because all of us operate a little differently. We all have our preferences of how we work with technology and so on. So, the next item here was public comment again. Again, if anybody would like to seek the floor, please state your name and we'll notate it, and we will go through the list and give everybody an opportunity to speak. Is there anyone who would like to seek the floor?
Barbara Epworth. Would like to just ask a question.
I'll be after Barbara.
Okay,
Barbara and Jim. Anyone else? Okay, just a moment. We'll bring you the microphone.
Oh, okay, I got it. This may sound like a silly question, but on these restaurant stops, what are they doing with the band? Are they going to put a banding stand in there, or what is it? I don't really. Are they going to put a vending stand in the at the rest stops or what?
Okay.
I don't really know.
Okay, sure. I'll be glad to answer that. We currently operate vending machines at every rest area in the state of Nebraska. A blind licensee is the operator of the vending machines at every rest area. So that's what that was about. Does that answer your question?
Well, what are they for doing? They weren't doing it before?
Yes, they have been. We have been in the rest areas for a long time. What I was talking about is changing is the access, the compliance with us, the Americans with Disabilities Act, so that there are curb cuts to the. We had to make changes in our vending machines, and that was all done this past year, so that our vending machines, and I say our, it's the NBE licensees vending machines that operate under the rubric of the agency. We updated every single machine that's vending machines in every rest area. What's happening now is Department of Roads is making changes in the physical layout of those rest areas so that they're accessible.
Every 40 or 50 years, they need to come in and cut the grass, so they're going to close the rest stop down. No, just typical maintenance. The Department of Road needs to come in and do maintenance to the building, maintenance to the concrete, design change, make it, modernize it, So during that, it's an opportunity for them to not do small maintenance items, but to do large maintenance items. And so for that reason, they're actually closing the rest stop. As they move to that rest stop, they're actually closing it. They're shutting it down. You will not be able to leave the interstate and go to that rest stop. And the concern, or well, the issue that Dr. Van Zandt brought up earlier was that of course then the blind licensee who has their vending services, the vending machines in that one, loses that income during that time in which the rest stop is closed. Because other than I don't know if the machines are even on. I don't know if the construction workers there even have access to the machines, but definitely a lot smaller number of people than everybody driving down the interstate. So there's a significant hit on our blind licensee to their income while that rest stop is closed for renovation.
Another question was, may sound stupid. How do you pay for something with a smartphone, and how does the licensee know how much money is taken in? They used to just open the cash drawer and count the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike, do you want? I'll answer it real quick. It's at a very high level. Traditionally vending machines you put change into them. Then they migrated it to a point where you could put dollar bills into them. And now they've migrated yet again to where you can swipe a credit card on some of them.
Oh.
And now they're migrating even again to where you can do all of those things, but you can also hold your smartphone up that might have special technology in it, and it'll say, oh, this is Barbara, and her bank account number is this, and she wanted a Snickers bar. So we're going to deduct 75 cents. It's all electronic.
That's a very general description. Yes. Mike, Sandy Alvarado has her hand up. Would you like
Absolutely.
To hear from Sandy? Sandy is one of the licensees, and she actually has these, maybe real briefly.
I actually have one with me if I wanted to pass it around.
Sure, I'd love to see one.
I'm hungry. So.
It's not a Snickers bar.
Oh, dang it.
Afterward, if somebody wants to talk with Sandy about that, but not during the...
This particular device is called a PayRange Blue Key device, and I have it. We can pass it around. You can come visit with me, whatever. It has an app that you would download to your phone. This does no damage to the vending machines. We don't have to put anything new, it plugs into the existing harnesses that are in there. You download an app, like you do on all your smartphones for everything. It's similar to Starbucks, that's what I always refer it to. You upload money to that account, then you go into their, and that information is no longer available. You put money in it, they don't have the information anymore either. But you do have a designated number for yourself with their account, with PayRange.
Okay.
You just scan it, you have to have your phone has to be able to use Bluetooth, picks up the information from the machine, then you make a selection. And it is very accessible, for the most part, for blind people. I don't use any Android or anything like that, so I don't know how different the two works. I use an Apple device. But very simple. It's just like you upload money to that app like you would with Starbucks, and then you just follow the directions on it and make your choice.
Awesome.
Makes it easy.
Thank
you. Not to worry about having that extra nickel.
Hey, Sandy, while you got the microphone,
yes.
How is Nebraska doing compared to other states on keeping up with this new technology?
Getting us to get kicked in the butt to get up there. No, it's just a lot of our facilities are federal and or state, so there may be some restrictions on Wi-Fi and cellular usage because of certain concerns.
Covered.
Mm-hmm. And that has inhibited a lot of, like, the credit card readers. Those would be on a cellular device as well. And then the cost for us licensees was pretty expensive before. This device, we buy it once, or I say we, the Business Enterprises gets them for us. It's a one-time thing, and it's just, they take a percentage just like it would with a credit card. You know, there's 3.9%. So if I want to sell something for a dollar, I jack up the price to $1.05. That way it covers that 4%.
Oh.
And, well, people will like it because they can buy multiple items. And, but we're getting there. And it's just the ability to get into the some of the facilities because of their restrictions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike, are you ready to go to the next?
As long as that was all of Barbara's comments, then we can move. Then we'll move on to Jim. Did you have anything else, Barbara?
No.
Okay. Good question. Thank you very much.
It'll be a pop quiz on the way home.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Hey, very quickly, I want to suggest that, Mike, I'm going to change my comments from what I talked to you about, but very quickly, I want to congratulate and welcome to the board Chad and Mark.
I think that
the governor made a wise choice. It's not very often I say that about our governor, but it's he did make a wise choice, and I think you both will serve the board well. Mike, earlier you had suggested, and maybe I was not listening, as I probably should have been. You had suggested that you were talking to someone or looking at the idea of video conferencing or video streaming or what have you, so in case of inclement weather, folks didn't have to travel halfway across the state, at least the board. If I heard that correctly, that's what I thought I understood.
I broached the question with our lawyer, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. And a couple of years ago, and maybe this is completely different, just for historical significance for Mark and Chad, mm-hmm. A few years ago, I had suggested something along those lines about having commissioners in various locations to, cut down on expense for travel and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was suggested in the Open Meetings Act that, and Kathy helped me out, if I remember correctly, it was suggested in the Open Meetings Act that if that were the case, that something had to take place or something had to happen.
We're very familiar with that because we've been reading it for this very reason.
Right.
We've been reading that section.
Okay.
And so what if we were to, this isn't something that we could just probably do last minute. It has to be something somewhat planned or to some extent ahead of time. If we make it available to a commissioner, we have to make it available to the public.
Right.
We have, it then is a meeting site, so therefore the things that we do here, like the copies of the Open Meetings Act, need to be there in print and braille. So we, there's getting of that information there, so it can be on hand and on site. Finding there's restrictions in the Public Meeting Act as far as how often we can do this. We can do it for, we can only do it. It has 50% of our meetings a year, or 51% of our meetings a year, have to be together. We cannot use video conferencing form. So there's a limitation on the number of them that we can do. So there are some, and for some reason, and I don't understand this, there is a distinction between video conferencing and audio conferencing, and certain entities are allowed to use telephone audio conferencing, and certain ones are not. We are, in the case of our normally scheduled quarterly board meetings, we are not allowed to use audio conferencing. We have to use video conferencing. That introduces some additional headaches, in the sense that having that equipment, it's a lot easier to find a location with a conference phone and use a conference bridge than a whole video setup. Having somebody there who is knowledgeable to run the video conferencing equipment. So there was a lot of scenarios. We are allowed to use audio conferencing for extreme situations. Jim, you participated in a, we'll call them a emergency phone calls.
Right, right.
We're allowed to do it for those reasons,
right.
But for a quarterly board meeting, we are not.
Right. Would Skype be an option, or would
no.
Zoom Tech or anything like that?
I don't believe so.
She asked about Skype or other ways of formatting.
Hangout or whatever.
That I wouldn't will. Think GoToMeeting would be an option either. So,
so if we were to do something like that, what would probably happen is and I don't know if there's a requirement of this, but likely it would. There are technical reasons why this may have to be the way it's done. I don't know. I mean, we just haven't gotten that far yet, Jim, but there is a state video conferencing network of sites, and these are state office buildings. These are some of the state colleges are on the list, some of the community colleges. I think the Norfolk's Northeast Research, or I'm sorry, the community college in Norfolk, I'm from the university standpoint of it, I think it was a lifelong learning center in the Northeast Research and Extension Center, but the community college there, they have a site. Shadron Community College, or Shadron State College is a site. So there's different sites around the state where people could go and we could host a meeting, but then we'd be paying for two locations. There's a lot of logistics involved.
Right.
So it's something to consider. It's one of those things. We're trying to gather the information so that we have the knowledge if it's something that we need to do, and just trying to explore what the possibilities are.
Right, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. That's why I brought it up a few years ago. I just want to make sure that that you're aware of it. The other thing, very quickly, then I'll pass the mic to whoever wants it. The commission board job description is something for the benefit of Chad and Mark that the board came up with years ago, and it's been tweaked, modified, and what have you. LB 352 created the commission, and of course I think most of us in the room know that. In that bill, just as an FYI, and if you want to bore anybody, the only legal requirement per state statute is the hiring and firing of an executive director. The job description is just common sense things that the board needs to do. So just wanted to point that out.
Thank you. I would, Jim, just since you're bringing it up, I will add to that by saying I think that it is the way that that is written, the fact that we are in charged with the employment of the executive director, we are the final governing body of this agency. We choose to administer that or to handle those responsibilities by employing a very capable executive director,
right.
And instead of micromanaging an organization.
Right.
And so we're very lucky in the person that we have as our executive director. But the way that it was written, yes, that is the way it's worded, but the responsibility is more than that. But we choose to execute that by hiring somebody very capable and trying to not get in her way, but supporting her as needed.
I agree.
Well, my bizarre mind is thinking that audio thing has got to be visual. That's almost like they take that one step further than us blind folks who function auditorily. We can't come to these meetings.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there one more question? Who says or where's that rule that says we can't do an audio call?
There is the Open Meeting Act, which is state legislation. So it's in the law book for the state of Nebraska. It made those requirements, and in that, so it's been done over quite a number of years. There's different laws that make up that section of Nebraska of the Nebraska code law, and in there it states which agencies are allowed to do audio conferencing and not. It's something, if we wanted to change it, we would have to go seek the help of somebody like Senator Mello or whoever and actually get them to tack on an amendment probably to some bill someplace to say that, hey, we are allowed to do that as well. I guess it's one of those things we pick our battles.
Yeah,
sure.
So.
Okay.
Can I, Mike, I got...
let's pass the...
Sure.
Seems like
yeah.
Lisa Kelly, are you still out there? Well, one of the things that I guess the public needs to know is that the Nebraska Commission for Blind and Vision Impaired does a lot of things. But they can't do everything. And Lisa, you're working on something that's kind of exciting in Omaha. Could you take the mic and share with what's going on just so that people, public knows what's going on?
Wow, that's put me on the spot.
Yeah.
I was just here today totally to observe. I work for Outlook Nebraska. They hired me last April as their Director of Enrichment Programs. And so honestly, our hope is, as a nonprofit organization, to fill in the gaps in services and support all the work the commission does in whatever we can as an advocacy outside agency. So one of the things we're working on, a couple things that have come to our attention that we didn't see happening. The first one is coming up in April 30th, we're hosting a visually impaired community resource fair. And I have to say that a couple times because we weren't sure what exactly to call it to make sure we hit the right population. But basically on April 30th at Westroads Mall, we are inviting any agency, any business, any nonprofit that provides any services for anyone who is visually impaired to host a table so that the general public can come together and get all of us in one place at one time and find everything we do. Because I think we all have fantastic services to offer. It's just hard to figure out who we are. It's taken me a year to figure out kind of who the players in this world are. So I'm sure it's tough for people going through the challenge of losing their vision at the same time. So if you know people or agencies, organizations who would like to have a table and share their services, that would be fantastic. Everything's on Outlook Nebraska's website to sign up as an exhibitor. That would be great. And then Outlook is making all the efforts to do all the promos, the PR. We have Lucas Partners as our marketing firm is helping us with a whole launch, hopefully a lot of media attention, things like that. So that's probably a big, exciting thing. Thank you for
moment
to plug it.
Yeah, and Sandy, I'm just thinking as, you know, you get this. Sandy, or is that something you'd be interested in attending? Yeah, I think, you know, we got to let people know what's out there, and the commission obviously does a great job, but you're not aware.
I just want to add, the commission is already on board with Outlook Nebraska.
Nancy tested the exhibitor page.
Yes, she will be there at that event. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was great. And then the other one is, Outlook Nebraska itself is going through a renovation starting this year, but one thing we're hoping to do is to provide more services, especially on adaptive tech training. Because we know the commission does a great job, but they have a huge caseload. And so we're hoping we can maybe fill in some of those gaps. So for people who want to receive any more adaptive tech training, we actually now have 2.5 hiring a few more trainers to do ongoing training for members of the community who want to come in and learn anything on any adaptive tech, particularly iPhones, computers, smartphones, things like that, of that nature. So we're trying to keep up on what's the latest apps, what are the most helpful things out there, things like that. And then my last thing is advocacy. So if there are things at the state level that the commission needs outside community, individuals, certainly Outlook will be there to do some advocacy with the state in support of your work.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I didn't expect
that. Yeah. Okay. If there are no other...
Hubert.
Okay, just a minute. Hubert?
Just a quick thought with regard to any possible meetings through audio or visual that look into either through US or whatever technology to record that audio that can then be put on the website. Thank you.
Got you covered. Okay. All right. Moving on then is just some final announcements. I just wanted to, because I didn't do it up front, I wanted just to take a quick opportunity to welcome Mark and Chad to the board. Appreciate your guys' commitment and for the next several years. We will use and abuse you guys quite well. Yeah. We'll make good use of you, trust me. We really appreciate it, and you guys have a lot of great qualities that we look forward to getting your assistance and making use of. So thank you very much for your willingness to volunteer and to assist us with everything going on the next several years.
Yep, thank you.
Yay.
Thank
you.
Let's see here. Our next meeting is in May. We'll have, I believe it's the first Saturday in May is what's scheduled.
Yes.
But we will send a meeting date and location and all of that out later this spring. So be looking for that.
And I think Kathy has some other announcements.
Okay.
I was just going to say we don't have a location.
Not right, yet. we're going to get that.
Okay.
we'll get the particulars sent out later on in the spring. That's something that I think we'll hash out at the board retreat.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have that available. So, let's see. So anybody, there was an offer earlier by Dr. Van Zandt. If there's anybody who would like to have a quick walking tour of the building, of our spaces in the building.
Yes, and that would include taking a look at our fancy new computer that makes accessible.
Wow. Right.
Yeah, that I got to see.
Yes, and
Wes has offered to give us a little demo on that.
Right. So Wes will, maybe that'll turn into two different things. I don't know, because yeah, somebody might have a lot of questions for Wes, and we'll the tour will continue,
yeah,
and we'll let you guys talk.
Right.
Robert, you care if I do that? Are you in a hurry to get
out? Yes. So after the meeting here, if anybody's interested in that, please hang tight, and we'll get those started here in just a few moments. Other than that, unless there's anything else, we've come to the end of the agenda. So meeting adjourned. Thank you very much
for coming.
Thank you.
All right.
Good job.
All right.